All right, Acts chapter 11, if you will. Oh, wow. You're right, Matthew chapter 11, and I for some reason wrote Acts down and stayed with it. I was going to follow it all the way to the end. Matthew chapter 11, I apologize. Here we go. Matthew chapter 11, let's begin in verse 20. It says, "Then began he," speaking of Jesus, "to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. And Jesus says, Woe unto Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." The Lord Jesus, we touched on this, or began this text last week, and the Lord Jesus essentially is rebuking these cities and really just the religious people that he has ministered to with the gospel for their indifference. He's pointing out just how apathetic they had been in not responding. They had heard his teachings. They had seen his mighty works, as he says. And of course, those mighty works involved healings, miracles, the blind to see, the lepers cleansed, the deaf, the dumb to speak, the whole nine yards. They had seen it all, but yet they just sat back and did nothing. They were apathetic and indifferent. And by wasting those opportunities, Jesus is saying here that their guilt has become far greater than a city who had never seen Jesus. And that's the point being made here. That, you know, the principle is to whom much is given, much is expected. The greater the light that we've seen, the greater the punishment we have for not receiving that light is essentially the case. And so the cities of that he spoke of there first, Chorazin and Bethsaida, they were small Jewish communities, both of which were located just north of Capernaum, just a few miles. And of course, we have to understand, as we've already learned, that there were little communities just spread throughout just every few miles through that region around surrounding the Galilee and Capernaum. And so Capernaum had been kind of the headquarters of Jesus really for most of his ministry here on earth. And so he would feather out or fan out, if you will, with his disciples, and almost all of those small communities probably at some point or time were ministered to by Jesus. He had been to these two cities, Chorazin and Bethsaida, and they had seen the mighty works, they had heard the gospel, and yet they had turned a deaf ear. So Jesus is reproving them for that indifference towards him, and he compares them to two pagan cities, Tyre and Sidon. And those were cities that were not religious at all. They were cities that were, both of them were seaport cities, which simply meant that they were high traffic cities, lots of people coming and going, an abundance of trade. And what goes with that, those is kind of like Las Vegas. All the conventions are taken there, and all the trade and all the business is done. And of course, the vice goes with it. And that would have been a lot like Tyre and Sidon. They were just an abundance of illicit activity. Baal worship was very strong there, and just people coming and going, and they were just the epitome of vile Gentile cities. But yet Jesus says, if Tyre and Sidon, these vile cities, had received the amount of the gospel that Bethsaida and Chorazin had, they would have repented in sackcloth and ashes, Jesus said, which simply means they would have, with a very contrite heart, turned from their sins and turned to Jesus. But the Jews, in these little towns that he's rebuking had rejected the true things of God. They had for some time, all throughout the intertestamental period, they had drifted from the things of God. They'd cling to their own traditions, and they had become so blind to the true things of God that when Jesus came on the scene, the true Messiah, the Son of God in the flesh, they were too blind to see him. And they were more blind as religious Jews than the irreligious pagans that Jesus speaks of in Tyre and Sidon. And Jesus tells them so. So there's few things that Jesus could have said to this group that would have stunned them as Jews more than these accusations that he's made in this text. And he's going to tell us the result of their indifference. In verse 22, he says, "But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you." In other words, what he's saying is, in the end, as Christ rejectors, they're going to be brought before the throne of God and be judged and sentenced to eternal punishment, which all Christ rejectors will be. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment, okay? At that time, the lost Gentiles of Tyre and Sidon are going to be better off than these religious Jews, is simply what he's saying. It just drives home a truth. One truth is that it drives home is that, and a truth that's often very not misunderstood, a truth that's not understood by many, is there going to be degrees of punishment in hell, okay? Hell's bad any way you look at it, but there's going to be, in heaven, there's degrees of loss, there's rewards and loss of rewards, and in hell, there's degrees of punishment. And what's being said here is the most severe punishment is reserved for those who have been exposed to the light, but yet rejected the light, okay? They will be punished far worse in hell than those who were given light, just given a little light and rejected it. So you see, just having not seen as much as these guys, okay? So what would that mean for the Christ-rejecting Jews? If the person that had received the most light and still rejected Christ was going to get the worst judgment, then, man, think about the Jews. They're the ones who brought us the Old Testament, okay? So that just is indicative of how much light they had. They had all the light that there was, but yet they found no room in their religious life for Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. And so the outcome of that is not going to turn out well in eternity. So now Jesus moves on, and he mentions another Galilean city that is even more guilty than Chorazon and Bethsaida. And he mentions in verse 23, Capernaum. Let's read that again. He says, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works that had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would remain until this day." So Capernaum, as we learned back when we were studying chapter 8 and chapter 9, was a very, very prosperous fishing village that was on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee. And as I just said a few moments ago, it was kind of serving as headquarters for Jesus. Jesus didn't have a home, but he stayed in Capernaum a lot. And he branched out from there with his ministry. And so he performed more miracles and preached more sermons in and around Capernaum than any other place in all of his ministry, okay, right around that region. Just a few examples of which we've already studied in the past. He raised Jairus' daughter there in Capernaum. He healed the nobleman's son. He freed the demoniac. He healed Peter's mother-in-law in Capernaum. The woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, he healed her there. He gave sight to the two blind men there. Healed the centurion's servant. Healed the leper. Caused him to be cleansed. He healed the bedridden guy. You remember that his four friends lowered into the room by ropes. That was at Capernaum. And so all of these wonderful miracles, they're just so great and so voluminous that Jesus is saying, you have seen so much, Capernaum, that had Sodom seen what you've seen, they'd still be here today. Now, you and I know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, an Old Testament story in the book of Genesis that day. They were twin cities that were synonymous with moral depravity. They were characterized, as we know, by vile, illicit sexual sin. Most notable were the acts of homosexuality there. And of course, their ongoing debauchery, which was hideous, led to God's judgment. And we know that he chose to destroy both Sodom and Gomorrah. So by saying that Sodom, if Sodom heard what Capernaum heard, they would still remain today. He's just simply saying that that if they had had the mighty works that these people, these religious Jews in Capernaum had had, they never would have been destroyed. They would have repented of their sins and turned back to God and never been destroyed. And so if they had received as much light as Capernaum, then they would still be a Sodom today, okay? Let's move on to verse 24. But he goes on and tells it like it is. He said, "But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." As far as we know through study, Capernaum was not a vile city. Apparently, it was a very moral, very decent city, had a lot of religious Jews there. There was a lot of good things. It was a prosperous city, but they were indifferent to Jesus. They failed to receive the gospel, the light that was given them. And so that, being a moral city, that still put them on a level lower than the abominations of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's pretty low, okay? So it's hard to imagine, but this is telling you and I that the ultimate sin, and I'm finishing up here, the ultimate sin, what we would call the sin unto death, is turning down the gospel message. That the ultimate sin is turning, you know, you say, well, what about all the axe murderers and all of this? If they turned to Christ and repented, they could still be saved. But the rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the complete rejection, is an eternal thing. It lasts forever. It seems that it is what the Bible refers to as the unpardonable sin. Just simply saying no to the Lord Jesus Christ. So judgment against spiritual indifference will be applied more harshly than judgment against moral abomination. That's what this text is clearly telling us. Hell will be hotter, so to speak, if you will, for Christ rejectors who have had a lot of light than it will be for those who receive very little light. And that's just simply what Jesus is saying. And it's a sad thing that you would think that these people that had the Old Testament, they had their religion, they supposedly loved God, but were going to go into eternity. Those that rejected Christ were going to go into eternity and live a stricter judgment will be applied to them than those who never even knew their Bible. Pretty sad thing, okay? Capernaum is not, you don't find anywhere that they even criticized Jesus in Capernaum. You don't find that they persecuted him or his disciples. There seems to have been no opposition to Jesus' ministry there in Capernaum, but yet they had unchanged minds after seeing all the miracles and all the hearing all the preaching, and that's going to result in an eternity worse than the people of Sodom. Let me leave you with this. 18th century commentator Johann Bengel wrote this. He said, "Every hearer of the New Testament truth is either much happier or much more wretched than the men who lived before Christ's coming." Think about that for a moment. Every hearer of the New Testament truth is either much happier or much more wretched than the men who lived before Christ's coming. Depends on what you do with the truth, okay? If you hear the truth and reject it, you're in worse shape than anybody that's ever in the Old Testament. But if you hear the truth and embrace it and accept the Lord Jesus Christ, you're better off than anybody ever was in the Old Testament, okay? Appreciate you guys. Let's go ahead and stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and I hope you have a good remainder of the week. We will see you back here Sunday morning. Invite somebody. They come here, Brother Strunk, in the morning, they're going to want to be back Sunday night. You know that, okay? So let's invite them and get the house of God full, and we'll go ahead and be dismissed in a word of prayer. Leroy, would you dismiss us, please, sir?